Welcome to the South Shore's Morning News Weekend Review Podcast. I'm Rob Hackelow. Listen for the next 30 minutes as we take a look back at some of the big interviews from the week on the South Shore's Morning News, which airs live weekdays from 5 to 10 a.m. WATD, the South Shore's Morning News. I'm Rob Hackelow with the morning team.
See the curtains hanging in the window.
Oh, yeah.
In the evening on a Friday night.
It's a good song. Great to have you here on this. We're going to talk about teachers. Teacher Appreciation Week comes up at the end of May, May 6th through the 10th, 2024. And to talk about teachers and how they impacted all of us. Award-winning ABC News journalist Deborah Roberts to talk about her new book, Lessons Learned and Cherished, The Teacher Who Changed My Life. Deborah, good morning and welcome to WATD.
Good morning. And I got to tell you, summer breeze, you want to talk about school and teachers, that takes me back. Fields and Crofts and being in the chorus and singing in school. Oh, my gosh.
That's why I wanted to play that song to open it up. I said, that'll probably ring a bell for Deborah. And I read that right in the opening of the book. And I said, I got to play some of that.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, that was sort of a golden, magical time for me. And I think a lot of us look back to moments in school, whether it's an experience or a teacher, and just feel such warmth and hopefully good memories about it.
Well, let's talk about why you decided to put together this book, this collection. What made you feel that now is the best time to put out a book here to honor teachers?
Well, you know, there are a couple of things. First of all, I mean, as I said to you, I do carry some really great memories of my time with teachers and significant teachers whom I often talk about when I go out to give speeches. But of course, being aware of this crisis that we're having in education, and particularly post-pandemic, kids who are not necessarily showing up at schools, teachers who are fleeing the profession left and right, and just a lack of satisfaction in their jobs, I thought, maybe it's time to sort of talk about teachers and what they mean to us, because they were certainly highlighted so much during the pandemic for what they do, because parents suddenly had to have that responsibility shifted for a while. So I just decided to combine my thoughts and my memories with those of so many other people that I talk to and create an essay or a series of essays with kind of a little a love letter to teachers.
Oh, that's great. Well, I know you have a lot of your celebrity friends and colleagues that share their stories, but why don't you tell one quickly about your personal experience, Deborah? Was there a teacher that had an impact on your life that you wanted to highlight for us?
Yeah, and oftentimes I go out to give speeches. I'm actually going out to give one tomorrow in Texas. When I go out and talk about whether it's empowerment or a career or just all kinds of things about my life, I often would talk about Mrs. Dorothy Hardy, my sixth grade English teacher, and how she was such a tough taskmaster. And many of us can relate to those teachers back in the day who were prim and proper and no nonsense and, you know, so forth. And I talked about Mrs. Hardy and how she raised the bar, and she basically, in a way, challenged us, but I certainly took the challenge, to sort of rise up to the occasion, to really want to write well, to speak well, to carry myself well. And when I talked about how Mrs. Hardy had such an impact on me, I would often get other people come up and say, oh, my gosh, Mrs. Simpson or Mr. Brown or just all these different people. And I thought, maybe it's time to just take a moment and think about teachers and give folks a chance to reflect back. And if you haven't had a chance to thank them, if it's a teacher who's still around, maybe reach out and thank them and remind them that we really care and appreciate what they do.
Yeah, it is. So, I mean, I had so many great teachers. I was blessed. And I remember when my a teacher who I had for 2 years in high school, Mr. John Hopkins. I've had him as a guest on the program, which was a blast. And I remember going to his retirement, and I never got him to sign my yearbook. So I brought my yearbook to his retirement, and I said, can you sign it? Which was fun.
And I love that.
Yeah, it's so great. And I think about all my teachers throughout my life, and it's so wonderful. So tell me about some of the other people that we're going to read in the book, because you reached out to, I mean, how hard was it for you to reach out and try to figure out what could you fit in this book?
You know, here's what's interesting about it. Well, first of all, I mean, when I got the idea, and I had just mentioned it to a few people, and they said, oh, wow, this would be great, this would be great. And you know, I run into somebody, Daniel Ballou, the French chef, ran into him, and we started talking about, you know, his teacher. He said, oh, my gosh, he starts talking about growing up in Lyon, France, and, you know, his teacher, Brooke Shields, I, you know, happened to see. So it was clear to me that people would go into this zone, this nether zone, to talk about their teachers. So it was not hard at all. I just started thinking anybody and everybody I can think of, Jenna Bush Hager, you know, my husband works with her. I ran into her at something. So I just started buttonholing people anytime I saw them to talk about a teacher. Can we set up an appointment to talk about a teacher? And everybody was game.
Oh, that's wonderful. This is great. Lessons learned and cherished, the teacher who changed my life. And you talk also, you have any comments, Deborah, about the teaching today? I think about, you know, social media, and I've heard stories. My younger sister is a teacher, so I've heard what she's dealing with in fifth grade. And I thank all the teachers, but obviously everything has changed. I've been hearing about, you're right about burnout and people not going I mean, I've heard the same story in journalism, too, where, you know, people used to stay their whole career in TV, and then all of a sudden they're just leaving, saying, today is my last day. What do you think is it about the issues today?
Well, it's a very, very tough job. And please tell your sister thank you, and I'm so thrilled that she is still at it, because the fact of it is, you know, we've lost like more than close to 60,000 teachers in this country since, you know, February 23rd. And, you know, every year, you know, it used to be there were teachers, you know, bright, shiny young teachers coming into the profession, very excited about it, have, you know, a real enthusiasm. Now they're leaving. The job satisfaction level is at its lowest in 50 years. The pandemic has a lot to do with it. Burnout, teachers just really had to work under some very difficult situations coming back to school. Politics has a lot to do with it. You know, there was a lot of polarization in this country. Teachers are being demanded to do so. There's so many demands for them to do so much, but also demands in how they do their job. One of the things I've found is in other countries, you know, teachers have a lot more autonomy. We've taken that away from teachers, and so they get very frustrated, and we need to really change that. And I'm hoping this book can be a call to action for all of us to say we need to uphold teachers and to honor them. And, like, let's just, if we need to go to school board meetings, let's go and let's talk about teachers and talk about ways to preserve this wonderful, noble profession.
Deborah Roberts, award-winning journalist, Lessons Learned and Cherished, the Teacher Who Changed My Life. New book out. It's available in stores and online now. And Deborah, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your time with us today.
Such a pleasure. Thank you so much for the summer breeze throwback, too.
Absolutely. We'll take it out. Thanks, Deborah. Summer breeze. The South Shore's Morning News rolls on. I'm Rob Hakala with the morning team, and it's time now for our Paws and Claws segment. In studio this morning, we're excited to have local author Robin Avery on the program for Paws and Claws. She is a writer, and we're going to be talking about Nala's Meatball Mission, a tail-wagging tale of meatball mischief, seaside shenanigans, and furry friendships. Can't say that too fast. Robin, good morning.
Hi, Rob. Thanks so much for having me.
Great to have you. It's nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in here to WATD. So let's talk a little bit about your background. Tell us about yourself.
Absolutely. So I'm originally from upstate New York. I moved to Boston after college and lived there for about 10 years, and then found my way to Marshfield in 2014 when my son Jack was born. Really love Marshfield, the community, the beaches, and excellent schools. I spent decades in leadership and corporate recruiting in the tech and biotech industry, really helping others navigate their career paths. But I've always had a passion for writing and creative design. I spent years at Amazon, which is a very heavy writing culture. And then over the last few months, I decided it was time to leverage my passion for writing, and inspired by my Black Labrador Retriever, Nala, friendships, and of course, our beautiful South Shore community.
So you've tied it all together.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about the book. This is a new. How many books are there so
far? This
is
the first book I've published.
Okay. So this is the first one, and this is hoped to be a series.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes. I have a couple other ideas in the works.
Ooh. Okay. All right. So let's talk about the new book. This is Nala's Meatball Mission. All right, so fill us in. Tell us about the book.
You know, the book is a blend of adventure, friendship, and community with a touch of humor. In the book, I incorporated watercolor style images, which I created through digital design. I also added some children's engagement questions at the end, which really helps get kiddos to think about, you know, their own personal experiences. But I got the idea. Nala is an expert counter surfer. She is a lab through and through, with a serious appreciation for Italian cuisine, especially meatballs. And then, you know, in the book, she has a knack for bringing the community together, and really turning everyday moments and mischief into, you know, memories for our family. So it's been a wild ride, an adventure, lots of learnings and mistakes along the way, but I'm really excited to share this book with the community.
Yeah, and I know the book is available, and you're excited about this, and I know you can order on Amazon, it says, but you can also buy it locally. NalaBooks.com is your website. This website looks great.
I learned web design with lots of YouTube tutorials, so that was a new adventure for me.
Yeah, do you like the way it came out?
Yeah, I think great. I wanted to make it fun and playful.
Yeah, it's fun. You can get all the links, shop Nala's favorite finds. There's a blog, Yoga Journeys.
Yeah, so I'm also creating yoga journals. Really love designing in Canva and Photoshop, so I have a series of blank journals, yoga prompt journals, and sketchbooks as
okay.
well.
Okay. All right. And people can get all of this at NalaBooks.com, NalaBooks.com. And you mentioned that I know you're working with some local stores, correct?
Yeah. So Storybook Cove, you can find the book there. Also Pages and Paws, and then Books and Bulldogs. And I'm making my rounds to some other local bookstores like Have to Have It and Buttonwood Books. So more to come. It's been an incredible journey.
Now, Nala's Meatball Mission, a tail wagging tale of meatball mischief. So tell me a little bit more about the book itself then. Is this something that kids could enjoy, or is this for adults or everyone?
Yeah, I would say for everyone. Kids can certainly read it, but, you know, parents can read it to their children as well. And it just has lots of adventures. I mean, Nala enjoys hiking, the beaches, especially food. So it really, the essence is bringing the community together.
Oh, that's great. Are you going to have any events coming up to perhaps read or talk about the book?
It's been an amazing outpour of support, really organic through the community. So I've had collaboration opportunities to do book readings, vendor events. I just attended Friends of the Marshfield Animal Shelter fundraiser event, which was successful. And so it's great to get the book out there in the community. And I would say the highlight is just meeting everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it must be a lot of fun to have people tell stories about their dogs. And I imagine, I don't know, but maybe people swap lab stories or that kind of thing. Okay. all right. So how does the whole creative process work for you, Robin, when it comes to writing? Because I know, as you've said, it's been part of your career in terms of corporate writing. What's this like?
Yeah, I learned Photoshop, Canva, web design. Again, lots of reading and research, lots of mistakes. Tons of coffee along the way. So shout out to Gunther Tooties and Mary Lou's for supplying me with the caffeine. But, you know, the editing, I would say my advice is persistence, encouraging feedback from friends and family, and especially honest opinions, from children. You know, they are invaluable and they help keep the book genuine and authentic.
Yeah. Do your kids love it?
Yeah, they do. That's really
great.
Proud.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Now, so what's next? We previewed kind of a little bit here that this is something you hope to continue.
Yeah. So I have another book in the works. It's called Puppy Training Missions, and it combines educational tips with a sprinkle of humor. And I really reflected on my day-to-day joy and challenges with Nala during her puppy years. So it has vivid images, fun emojis. So it's a lighthearted training guide for dog owners. Really cute. So I hope to release that in the next few weeks or so.
All right. And you can get all the links to follow Nala. Who does all these photos up here? These are very creative.
Yeah. So I do all of my own photos, the digital design. The cover, for example, was a photo of Nala that I converted digitally. So it's been a complete learning experience for me.
Wow. Well, it's been great to get to know you, and this looks really good here. So check it out, NalaBooks.com, for people, especially just to check out some of these photos. You're going to love them. Anybody that loves dogs, NALABooks.com, NalaBooks.com, and go and pick up the book and go shop locally and order it.
And I also would like to mention that a percentage of the revenue will be donated to local animal shelters. So it's really for a good cause, helping pets in need.
Nala's Meatball Mission, a tail-wagging tale of meatball mischief, seaside shenanigans, and furry friendships, written by local Marshfield author Robin Avery. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And that's our Paws and Claws on WATD. The South Shore's Morning News continues. Great to have you here. I'm Rob Hakala with the Morning Team. Every week at this time, we check in with our tech guy, David Snell, over at AxSmart IT in Wareham. David, good morning to you.
Good morning, Rob.
All right, so the topic this week, protecting yourself from accidental deposit scams. Okay, let's get into this. And tell me, what do you mean? What is an accidental deposit scam?
Yeah, you know, with the popularity of mobile payment apps like Zelle and PayPal, Venmo and Cash App, unintentional deposit scams are on the rise. And what that is an accidental deposit. Scammers use a mobile payment app to deceive users into sending them money. How it works is you receive a sum of money in your mobile payment app from someone you don't know. Suddenly, your inbox is flooded with messages claiming that the sender made a typo, accidentally sent you money, and kindly request that you return it.
Oh.
So it looks good. You've got the money in your account.
Yeah, the money is coming to you. That's why I was saying, okay, so should be making, you're so far you're ahead.
Exactly. And, you know, most people will say, well, yeah, I'm going to send this money back to them. They made a mistake. I would want them to do it for me as well. But the catch is this. The money they accidentally sent to you was likely from a hacked credit card or bank account. Essentially, the scammers are laundering money. So when the bank detects the fraudulent activity and reverses the charges, while you're in the process of returning the money, you may end up paying the untraceable scammer from your own bank account. Let's say they put $3,000 in your account from stolen money. The bank takes that back and cancels that transfer, and you've just transferred $3,000 back. That's your money that you transferred back to the scammer.
Wow. Okay, but you shouldn't be, now you wouldn't be losing money, right? I mean, wait, because they're giving you $3,000 and I'm returning $3,000, right?
Well, yeah, so what happens though is the bank is reneging on that first transfer. So they're canceling that $3,000 that went into your account.
But we'll take your $3,000.
Yeah, but if you're in the process of paying that money, quote unquote, back to the scammer, it just came out of your account. It's your $3,000 you've sent back to them.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. So that's how it works. So I guess the thing is that you got to be very wary. Again, it would be somebody you don't know.
Exactly.
You know, it's gonna say this thing. And a lot of people, you're right, have these kind of apps, you know, David, can you Venmo me? And so I've seen a lot of people enjoy using these, I think, for the convenience and, you know, for a lot of group funds as well. I noticed when people were buying, you know, for example, a gift for a classmate, somebody set up a Venmo account and we all had to Venmo somebody money. So I've used it, but only a few times for these specific reasons. But I guess the thing is to be careful now because, you know, again, as things get more popular, that's where the criminals come out and they go, ooh, this would be a good thing to get in on.
Yeah, and they're making money on the left and right now because people really feel, well, the money's there, so I'll send it back because I'm a nice person.
Yeah.
Don't get caught.
Yeah. And now, what if you just keep the money? I suppose that's not even real, right?
No, it's not even real because if you attempt to keep the money, it's going to be removed from your account anyway because it's been stolen from someone else.
Yeah, so that's just going to come in and get taken away. Okay.
Exactly. You wouldn't have sent your own money away, but you, in fact, aren't going to have that money for very long.
Okay, so tips and things to do. So what happens if you get this? What happens? Do you just don't do anything? I mean, what do you do if the money is in your account?
So what you should do is you never send money back to someone you don't know through any payment apps. Even if they sent you money first, two things to do. Contact the payment app directly to report the situation. So if you have Venmo, you contact them from your account. And then do not, under any circumstances, communicate with the sender. Scammers often use very persuasive tactics to try to get you to send, quote-unquote, their money back.
Oh, boy. All right. So that's what you got to be.
Vigilance. There's always vigilance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because you're right. I mean, these are the things you got to be careful about because, again, somebody, you know, accidentally sending you money, chances are this isn't an accident.
Right. Yep. They're trying to scam you, and they'll find any way that they can to get money from us anytime.
All right. So as you said before, protecting your wallet is crucial, whether it's an actual wallet or a digital wallet.
Exactly.
For people to find out more about this, David, be cautious. And again, this is very important to deal with when talking about unexpected money transfers. So you've got some links to some great sites and more information in your blog, right?
Absolutely. Go to AxSmartIT.com and click on my blog link, and you'll find out lots more about this new scam that's rising in popularity.
All right, David Snell, AxSmart IT, always here to tell us about the latest things to watch out for. So watch out for this latest scam. And again, talking about those accidental deposit scams.
Thanks, Rob.
David Snell, AxSmart IT, AxSmartIT.com. And David Snell is with us every week at this time on 95.9 WATD. This is South Shore's Morning News. I'm Rob Hackelow with the morning team. Have you ever thought of abandoning everything, dropping it all to prioritize yourself? In debut author Heidi Reimer's The Mother Act, this was the exact scenario she decided to explore and the consequences of it. Heidi Reimer is a novelist, essayist, and creative writing coach. And again, as we mentioned, this is her debut novel, The Mother Act. It came out. Heidi, good morning. Thanks for joining us on WATD.
Thanks so much, Rob. It's great to be here.
Well, let's talk about what led you to the inspiration for this story, The Mother Act. Take me to the background, because I know there's some personal connections here.
There are personal connections. The inspiration was my own struggle in early motherhood, just with a brand new identity, brand new shape of my life, kind of unrecognizable to what it had been before. And there were times when I was not doing okay with all of that. And I had been working on a different novel that had was from the perspective of a woman with a pretty terrible mother. And that mother actually had abandoned her when she was really young. And I had no empathy for that character going into that novel. And I was starting to identify with her a lot more because she had struggled and she had said, essentially, I'm losing myself here, and I have to go find myself again. And so I just wanted to explore both sides. Like, what happens if a woman decides that she needs to prioritize her own well-being and self-actualization, and it's at the expense of a daughter?
Oh, my. Wow. Okay. So pretty serious stuff to go through in this. So take us through The Mother Act and this novel that you just wrote. So take us through the story of what happens inside this with the characters in this book.
So it's told equally from the perspective of the mother and the daughter. They're both actors. It's told in six acts on the opening night of a one-woman show, and it's the mother character who is telling the story of their complicated relationship. She was an actress who refused to abandon her art, and felt that in order to not do that, she had to, what she did was she abandoned her daughter instead. She does come back into her life, and they do have a relationship, but I wanted to explore both sides of that. So the daughter, of course, is shaped by this vent. It's a pretty core part of who she is and the choices that she makes herself. And so my goal was to not judge either of them. I think it's natural for us to want to judge that mother character, and there's a lot of reasons to do so. Of course, I am not advocating this as a thing anybody should do, but I was interested in the complexities. Behind it.
Yeah, because I think you're right. I think when you peel away like an onion and peel away the layers, there's a lot more to the story. But I think you're right. The reflex reaction, of course, is anyone to abandon, whether it's a mother or a father that abandons their child, I guess, is to put some judgment. We pass judgment, I think, as people, right, on the mother and father without knowing the full story.
For sure. And for good reasons. The consequences are enormous and probably not justified.
Yeah.
But the book tries not to come down in judgment on that, which is something that fiction can do. That's something I think is really interesting.
Tell me a little bit about your husband's career, because it says as an actor and director, helped to create the theater backdrop of the novel.
Yeah. So my husband is an actor. He's been an actor all his life, also a theater director. And so my immersion in the world of actors and the stage happened because of my relationship with him. I've been around it a whole heck of a lot in the 20 years that we've been together. And it's a fascinating world. It's a different way of living and being than maybe the average person. And I just felt that would be an incredible setting for a book. And so I borrowed a lot from his art to make my art.
You're a novelist, essayist, and creative writing coach. Obviously, you have to be excited because this is your debut novel. It's gotten some great reviews. The Mother Act, this is out now, April 2024. Tell me about, Heidi, about writing for you. Is this something that you always wanted to do? How did your path kind of take you to here?
Always. I was 8 years old when I told my mother I was going to be a writer. I loved books. I loved novels especially. And it was always what I was pursuing, but it ended up being a really long, tangled journey to get me here. This is not the first novel I've written, but it's the first novel I'm finally publishing. So yes, it's really a culmination of something I've been working toward essentially my entire life. And I love that this is the book that's making its debut, because it's stronger. It's a stronger book than the one I would have published, 10 or 15 years ago. So.
Well, I have to ask you. Oh, no, that's great. Now, because it's written as a play in six acts, The Mother Act, is this something, and your husband has a theater background, is this something that will be performed on stage or has it?
I have a little dream that somebody will want to do that. I am actually, we're having a launch in Toronto in about a week, and I have about a 5-minute snippet that I turned into a stage version that I have an actress playing Sadie and performing a little tiny bit of it. So that's me making my dream come true there as well.
Well, I imagine, yeah, I would think that would be a very powerful, simply cast kind of play up on stage to make the statement, The Mother Act. What was your relationship like with your mom growing up? And tell me now about you as a mom to your kids and how much that played into this.
Yeah, my mom and I were close when I was growing up. She was a full-time stay-at-home mother. She had six kids. She homeschooled us. The thing for me when I was thinking about becoming a mother and whether or not to do that was that the examples that I had were of mothers who that was their life's work. And I knew I had other life work I wanted to pursue. And I didn't know if it was possible to do both, actually, with full devotion and without failing at one or the other. And so it's more of an imaginative exercise for me. And when my children were quite little and I was really in the thick of it, an imaginative exercise around, like, is it possible to devote yourself fully to, a art or creative ambition, but it could be any kind of ambition. It could be, an all-consuming career or vocation of another kind. I think that for me, writing and not letting my writing go in favor of motherhood has enabled me to show up more fully for my daughters. I have two daughters. They're teenagers now. And so my younger daughter, who's 14, has read the book and she loves it. And the other daughter is opting out for the time being.
Okay.
But she's the younger daughter is all in for these characters. So.
All right. The Mother Act is the name of the new book from Heidi Reimer. You can find out more on her website, HeidiReimer.com. This book is in store and online. Check it out. Heidi Reimer, thank you so much for joining us in WATD. It's been great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. As always, you can find us on your radio at 95.9 FM. Mornings from 5 to 10 or online at 95.9watd.com.
And you can catch up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can get the links at 95.9watd.com/SS Morning News. And join us next week for another edition of the South Shore's Morning News Week in Review.